We would all hope that the prosecutor would uphold the law as it's written. There's always room for some type of discrepancy or discretion. However, that one will be under scrutinized for a long time, I'm sure.
And it already is, and there's been a pretty good discussion about it on social media between myself and our listeners. I do think you need to step back and look at this objectively. We all have this compulsion to kind of scapegoat, and in our highly politicized environment, we want to do it in a partisan way. Well, those are those liberal prosecutors again. But I think we need to also take an informed approach and talk about but just prosecutors in general of all stripes. They all engage in some plea bargaining for a variety of reasons that serve both society, the system, the courts, and yes, the defendant, who may be deserving of a second chance. We're talking about something that happened 4 years ago. And who better to discuss this with than a guy that has seen it from both sides of the criminal justice table in a court, attorney and managing partner of Flood Law, Todd Flood. Flood, how are you?
Hi.
Todd, I got to tell you, I've been thinking about you for the past 48 hours when I first heard about this plea bargain, because it is troubling when you hear these things, and it's easy to leap to conclusions on these things. Take a step back, and with the knowledge you have, was this an unreasonable or foolish plea bargain if you just take out of the whole thing what this man did 4 years later?
No, it's not. I mean, thousands of pleas take place. In Wayne County, we used to drop the CCW down to an attempt. So failing to have your CPL license and having a gun on your person, without that CPL license, you get charged with a 5-year felony. And we would plead those down if there was no history, if there was no nothing on your record, no blemish, especially in cases. Look at the U of M football player who just got a slap on the wrist, which is very commonplace in these particular situations. But the scary part about all of this is you never know what case is going to blow up in your hands. And you have to look at every single case on all fours and the circumstances around it. Here, mental illness is a huge play in this case. And, you know, if people really wanted to know the culprits of amongst a lot of our crimes in this country, especially in this state, is the fact that we're ill-equipped. We don't have the clinics. We don't have the Lafayette Clinic ever since it was locked down and shut down. We don't have these places that we once did, and we don't have the records that we once had because people aren't being treated. And then all of a sudden, you know, the deadly weapon comes into their hands. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
If you look at this, you know, I watched the video yesterday of the stop where he was caught in that particular case. And first and foremost, the police officer was phenomenal. He explained it to him on multiple occasions, what's going on, why I'm doing this. He basically de-escalated the situation, got the gun, the prosecutors look at it.
And he was compliant and cooperative.
Yeah, there was no sign of the mental illness at that time.
I want to spin it back for a moment because I don't want to get too far ahead of us. But to follow up, you say you in Wayne County, you routinely pled this down. I know there are members of my audience saying, well, what the hell? It's a 5-year felony. If you have a law, why not enforce the law? Why would you routinely plead them down? What is the justification there?
Sure. That's an easy one. So let's just swat it out of the sky. Just because it's a 5-year felony, every statute has to have a term at the end. Under our guidelines in the state of Michigan, the sentencing guidelines for which judges use to determine a sentence, the guidelines in this case would be probation, right? So there wouldn't be a prison time. Sometimes there may be a 30-day jail sentence or something of the extent if there was some, you know, something there that made it or exacerbated the crime.
But it still would be a felony, right? And that would short-circuit any future legal purchases of weapons.
Sure. Sure. And so what we would do is to get the guy to plea, or the person to plea, I should say, is we'd make it a felony, but we'd make it an attempt. So it would be a 2.5 year. It's a guaranteed felony. A high misdemeanor, you can have a high misdemeanor in Michigan. You know, we kind of botched the common law on this particular thing because of a statute, but a high misdemeanor is a 2 year offense. Throughout the country, that's a felony. So regardless, if he had a 2 year offense or higher, he would be prevented from owning or purchasing a gun, right? So you could do that.
But they didn't.
What happens if, that didn't happen here. That didn't happen. Obviously, he got a misdemeanor of some sort that was less than a 2 year. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to get a gun. But Is there a situation where a person can, you have your CPL and you have it in your car and it expired, and today is February, whatever, 10th, whatever it is, and it expired January 10th, and you missed the date. You thought it was February, and you missed it, and all of a sudden now you've been a gun owner, registered guns, you're a hunter, and you have, you have a CPL license, but it's expired by a month. Is that an extenuating circumstance wherein, you know, you could drop it to a misdemeanor, right? Now, that wasn't the case here.
But if we took a zero tolerance approach, those guys would be going to jail.
That's right. That's right. So there's facts on all fours. I am a law and order guy. I believe in law and order, and I believe that, you know, we've made these particular situations for, you know, those particular statutes for charging. And then once we do that and the facts and the evidence hit those charges, then, you know, you have to look at the situation and the person behind it and what happened.
Yeah.
Don't have myopic eyes and judge a book by its cover. Look at everything on the case. Make the right decisions.
And we're judging this plea bargain 4 years hence after he's done a heinous thing. That isn't necessarily an objective way to look at it.
That's right. You're 1,000% right. You know, it's easy for us to Monday morning quarterback. I don't know who this prosecutor was at the time that made this deal, but it's not an uncommon deal. It's not an uncommon situation.
And you wouldn't call it, because, I mean, she has been known as, her name's Seaman, she's been known as a progressive. And because of that, they say, well, this is once again an example of woke Democrats, liberals going crazy, and it's causing death. You don't see this as being one of those partisan examples.
You know, I take politics out of it. If that were the case. Now, there are prosecutors in our state that are leaning that way and wanting to do things that way. But
yeah, it's not to say it's not a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, let's, you know, follow the law, follow the facts. And if then from there, make decisions based on sound, equitable justice for you being the chief law enforcement officer of the county and or the state. Right. And make decisions based on those facts of the person. You can't put everybody in X bucket. Right. So otherwise, if we did, Guy, I promise you, we would bog the system down forever because there would never be a plea deal. You would have a gazillion trials. You'd have people locked up. You'd have people being released because you had to let them out because you couldn't get to the trial. So think about it. Common sense has to dictate the day. If we did it for every single case, that cookie cutter thought process, we would never have justice because our system would be so bogged down. I was at Michigan State picking my son up at 3 a.m. It looked, and he's still in a, and it's surreal for him and his friends, and, you know, a moment for his life he will never forget, where he was at this particular time, and who knows what triggers what.
Yeah.
But it's a situation where having that in the back of my mind and living this life that I live in the sandbox for which I work in every day, we have to be educated, smart, use shared experiences. And mental health, I tell you, if we got back into dealing with that, we could really help make it so these types of cases potentially wouldn't happen.
That's from MSU dad and a guy who has toiled in this vineyard a long time and has seen what works and what doesn't. Todd, I'm so happy everybody's safe in your family. And I thank you for your insights and your objectivity and your perspective on this.
Love you, guy. Be
right.
Well.
Love you, too, man. Best to your son. When we come back, President Biden finally talks about UFOs and what he's going to do in the future about China. Or did he?